Powerline Productions wants to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Because of this, we offer a wide variety of books and ebooks about homeschooling, homeschool classes, and Bible study workshops like Real Men Build. Pastor Mike and Meredith Curtis, along with their daughter Katie Beth Curtis, have written this comprehensive Bible study to help men of all ages grow in leadership in the home, in the church, and in the world. Learn more at powerlineprod.com. That's powerlineprod.com. Powerline Productions, being world changers, raising world changers.
What are those priceless gifts that money can't buy? Well, I can tell you one of the first is the gift of time, creating memories with your children. The next priceless gift is teaching your child the value of spending time with God. In the novel, A Few Minutes with God, written for children and teens, the story unfolds about a struggling family and the gift of hearing God and the outcome, which is a wonderful blessing from the Lord. Your children will want to pray and spend time listening to God after reading this book. Visit MediaAngels.com for more information.
This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at MediaAngels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hey, everyone, and welcome. This is Felice Gerwitz with an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. And today's episode is very, very special because I have a special guest on the line. And the topic today is do-it-yourself European travel on the cheap. You can find the show notes at VintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Look for DIY European travel on the cheap. Today's special guest is Meredith Curtis, and I have missed podcasting with Meredith. We try to podcast at least once a month on Vintage Homeschool Moms, and she's such a wealth of information, and she is going to be sharing with us their recent vacation to Europe and ways that they save money. And before you do that, Meredith, why don't you share with us about your website and how people can find you?
Okay, I would love to, and I'm so excited to be here. And the best place to find me is powerlineprod.com.
That's powerline, P-R-O-D.com.
And that is basically, I have a blog there that probably the blog I post on most often. Also, all my books are there, information about all my books and helpful hints with teaching those different subjects. I also have a website, MeredithCurtis.com, that basically covers books, worship, all kinds of things like that. And I have a blog there I don't post on quite as often. And then I also have JoyfulAndSuccessfulHomeschooling.com. And on that website, there are free reading lists, free lesson plans, all kinds of goodies for you to download, links to helpful resources and blogs. So any of those, you can find me, powerlineproductions.com, meredithcurtis.com, and joyfulandsuccessfulhomeschooling.com.
Wonderful. And one exciting note that after we've recorded this podcast, we're also going to record a DIY travel on the cheap, and that is just going to be just information about traveling in general and ways that you can save money, so be on the lookout for that one as well. Okay, Meredith, so you just recently sent me a text out of the blue, and it said, hey, at the airport, pray for us, the whole family's going to Europe. I'm like,
no.
Okay, yay, I'm praying. Oh my gosh. So
well, I just wanted to make sure, in case you needed to get a hold of me and you couldn't, that you wouldn't know, because I had forgotten, we hadn't talked in a while, and so, you know, you didn't know, so sorry about that.
No, that's okay. I was like, really, I love texts like that. If any of you have my number and send me a text like that, that's a good one. It's not a, you know, it's kind of a fun one, but I was just like, what? My word. So I know you have a rather large family, and you said that you were able to do it with an amazing budget. So first of all, tell us, you know, obviously you researched. And so what kind of research did you do, and where did you look?
Okay, well, this is how the trip to Italy started. We wanted to go to Germany in 2017. And we looked, there were certain sites we wanted to see. I'm from Germany. And so that was kind of our next trip that we wanted to take. But with it being the 500-year anniversary of the Reformation, all the places we wanted to go and all the tours that we wanted, that included the things we wanted to see, were really, really pricey. And so we realized we just can't afford to do this as a family. And then Mike and I talked about doing it as just a couple. And then we realized we could take our whole family to Italy for the same price as just two of us going to Germany. And so we just reworked everything. And we had always, like, I'm a researcher, so I definitely love to travel. So I have, one of the ways I do my research, and you'll probably think this is funny, but DK Publishing, which we think of with homeschooling, you know, they have all the nifty little books with lots of pictures. They have actual travel guides. And I know there are other travel guides out there, but I really like them because they're just laid out in a really easy way to go through and to research. And so I'll use those. I'll use, you know, just people that I know and what they visited. I'll watch travel videos, things like that. So I kind of keep like running files, but some are just in my brain and some are actually in the computer, of places I really want to see. Another thing I do is I'll keep a Pinterest board. Like if I want to go to Germany, you know, I have a Germany Pinterest board. And as I come across things, I'll say, oh, you know, that's something I would enjoy doing. So I'll put that into my board, into the Pinterest board. So anyway, when it came to Italy, we had always like thought, okay, that's something we want to do down the road. And my daughter, Juliana, really wants to go to Italy. So she and I basically made a list. We made a list of all the things we absolutely wanted to see if we went to Italy. And then we made a list of the things that we would enjoy seeing, but they were kind of, you know, like if we didn't get to see them, we wouldn't be disappointed. So, for example, Juliana wanted to see the countryside in Tuscany, and she wanted to have like a dinner in Tuscany. And I wanted to see Venice. I wanted to see the Vatican. I wanted to see, you know, the ancient Roman ruins and stuff in Rome and things like that. So we had like different things, but we made up this list of what we wanted. And then, and especially with a non-negotiable list, we started looking for different options. Now, we've gone to Europe before. We've actually gone to the Netherlands as a family. And we actually went over there for a worship conference, and then we took like extra week and we visited Amsterdam, and we visited Corrie ten Boom's museum, and we visited Belgium, and we did that where we just went and we rented a little condo / apartment from a personal, you know, from a person. And we got our train tickets and we went everywhere by train, and we did everything kind of on our own. But Italy was so different because we thought there's so many things that we want to see in Italy. But the thought of like there were vacations where you could stay in different places, but you could drive. The thought of driving in Italy, which later I know this was the Lord, because this is what our tour guide said to us. If an Italian, it doesn't matter how old they are, has wheels, they can kill you. And it seemed like that. It seemed like, you know, the driving was really crazy there. So I would not want to have driven.
Yeah. And the cars are
awfully small. I have a cousin who lives there, so.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, and they I've park.
Been to Sicily. Oh yeah,
they
anywhere.
Park anywhere, anywhere. Like yeah. we saw a car parked in the middle of the street. It was so weird. So anyway, we immediately said we're not going to do a driving vacation. We're not going to rent our own car. We're not going to drive through Italy, and so that left us the option of. You know, something we had never considered before, and that was to get a tour. And the tour we got was all inclusive. It had the hotels, it had the airplane, it had the transfers from the airports to the hotels, and then it had from place to place. So we flew into Venice, and then we went place to place, and then we ended up leaving from Rome, but we took a tour bus from place to place. And so that we thought, oh, well, that will be super expensive. It turned out that we just kept looking for the tours. You know, Juliana and I, we actually looked for 6 months. So we didn't just lightly, you know, like say, oh, well, we're going to go to Italy and go get the tour. We looked for mm-hmm. a really long time. We would send each other things. We gave up on the whole thing several times. But we kept praying. We kept looking. And then one day we found the exact tour of everything that we wanted, God. And it was on this super sale, and so we could all afford to go. It was available for the week that my children were on spring break from school, which is really hard to find. Like when you have college right. students, you know, it's and then you have working anyway. So that is what I mean by research. Like we didn't just, oh, I want to do this and look online. Oh, I can't go. Like we were just like determined, dog determined, to find the best possible deal. And a few travel sites that we used were a site. It's not even just a travel site, but Groupon. Groupon would, you know, have different deals, and then they would lead us to other places because they collect deals from other places. Also Travelzoo, it does the same thing, collects deals from other tour guides. And through those, we found places like Radar Tours and Gate One Travel. And that's what we went on. We ended up going on Gate One Travel. They had just really super deals. So that was our research. That's how we kind of got ready to do that. And it was our first time, like I said, we've been to the Netherlands, and I'd taken the three older girls to London, and we just went to London. We planned our own time. We went everywhere on the tube. And so this was our first tour, and we absolutely loved it. We talked as a family, and we just said that was such a way to do Italy because there is so much in Italy that you don't want to miss. And, mm-hmm. you know, we had this tour guide with us, and he knew everything. And so it was kind of a new thing for us, and we were really glad we did that.
Yeah, and like you said, it depends. Like I have cousins. I went when I was in high school, so that was many, many years ago. But my parents went to Italy all the time, and our cousins live in Sicily, in Messina, right on the Strait of Messina, and like with the balcony that overlooks the water. It's absolutely beautiful. And
oh, wow.
I have an open door invitation if I would just go. It's just a matter of the Lord providing time at some point, and I will go again. But my cousin took us to Rome, and so when we were with my cousin, it was like having our own tour guide, and he knew the restaurants to eat and everything.
Aww.
And I mean, you know, well, you would think that food is, you know, can be really expensive, and of course, my dad could speak Italian. I could understand it, but. I whenever I spoke Italian, they thought I was really cute. You know, I must have had some accent, like someone speaking broken English or something. But so how did you get along without me there to translate for you? I could have told you what everyone
Well, that was, you know, we did try to learn a few words. And when I went to Mexico, I was in the Spanish Honor Society in high school. And when I went to Mexico, every time I tried to say something in Spanish, everybody laughed at me. So I wasn't even going to try in Italy. I think I finally, you know, I said, thank you and hi and bye. And that was it. And, And now I don't even remember how to say them. But we, so being on a tour was really helpful with that, because when you are in a foreign country, we found this in the Netherlands too, everybody says they speak English, but they really, you know, don't, at least in the Netherlands. And so, you know, or if they do, you can't really understand and they can't understand you. So in Italy, it was really helpful to have the tour guide, because, you know, we didn't necessarily need to speak Italian, because he was close by, or if we, you know, most of the places that we went on our own, because we had most of the afternoons off on our own, we would end up in places where they knew English. So that turned out to not really be a problem. And we just basically, you know, got by fine with that. But of course, we always did try to say hi, bye, and, you know, thank you in Italian. And before we left, we went ahead and went to our bank. There is a cheaper way to do this. There's a place called the Florida Mall. It's about an hour from my house. But we just went to our bank. We paid a little extra for that, and we exchanged some money. And my daughter opened a bank account online, and I can't remember the name of the bank, but it doesn't charge any ATM transaction fees when you're overseas. So we put some money in that account. And then once we were in Italy, we actually just took money from that, from an ATM machine. And usually it was pretty easy to find that. And we just used my daughter's new account. It didn't charge us any transaction fees.
Well, we'll get that link. You'll send that to me via email so we can put that
I will ask her, because that will be good to know. And the currency, the euro, is stronger right now than the dollar. So it does cost more money to buy the euro. So that is something to keep in mind when you are going to Europe, that you have to look at the strength of, or the exchange rate, really. You just have to look at the exchange rate. And, you know, we can tend to think 1-to-1, but it's never 1-to-1 exactly. It's always, you know, mm-hmm. different. And so you definitely need euros. The good thing is, once you travel in Europe, almost everyone uses euros, except for England. They use the pound, of course. But so that was fairly easy. The money was pretty easy to take care of. And you definitely want to get there with money, with euros, because everything, you know, the tipping, you have to pay with euros once you land. And so that, and then with transportation, we did the tour, so that wasn't an issue for us. We just, you know, had basically, one thing that was really neat is when we got to Venice, we landed in Venice, and the airport in Venice is on the mainland. And of course, Venice is basically a city built on top of islands and water. And so our taxi was a speedboat. And so they loaded our suitcases and us into a speedboat, and we took a speedboat across to Venice. And so that was really exciting and fun. And, you know, we were following signs that said water taxi in several languages, including English, in the airport. And that was pretty neat. Now, when we went to London, we just got, we bought, and you can buy these online before you go, and that's what we had done, is we bought a tube, like, I want to say all you can ride tube ticket for the time that we were there. So we could ride the tube whenever we want, and we used the tube or walking for getting around. When we went to
the tube, is trains?
The tube is a subway, although there are places it's above ground, but that's because we just were in London. We weren't going to other places. Right. When we were in, now a lot of people go to London and they use the red bus, like you can hop on and hop off, but we just used the tube. And then in the Netherlands, we bought train tickets because we did want to go from city to city. And one of the things about Europe to keep in mind, that's not like the US. In the US, we drive everywhere, but in Europe, they do so much walking and so much climbing of stairs. And there's not, you know, there's not like an elevator. When you go somewhere, you know, you look at five flights of stairs and there is not an elevator, and you either stay at the bottom or you do the five flights of stairs up and the five flights of stairs down. So it is different in that, you know, the Europeans, and that's probably why they're all so skinny, but they walk a lot. So they do a lot of walking. And so we probably walked, you know, 5 to 10 miles a day. And so it definitely, you know, by the end of the day, if you're not used to that much walking, you're a little bit sore. So that was something to adjust to. And we found people in every nation in Europe is different. And in Italy, they're, you know, very friendly, very nice. They're also, they'll just, you know, talk about you, like as you walk by, like, oh, that dress is pretty. Oh, that dress is ugly. You know, it's kind of weird.
I have a funny story to tell about that.
Oh, go tell it. Go tell it.
My dad was Italian, and he was born in Messina, and he actually came to this country when he was in his 20s. And so when we went back to Italy, he couldn't wait to show us, you know, and as soon as you know, we had a chance, we went to Rome. And so he had on, it was back in the day of very loud print shirts, and he had on, you know, one of his very loud print shirts and shorts, and we were walking around, and these people were on the bus with us, and it was like one of those, anyway, so we're on this bus, and these people are looking at us, you know, with their very fitted, you know, tight Italian clothes on and everything, and just sitting there like that, you know, obviously from Florida, you know, little family, my little pudgy brothers and myself and my mom, you know, I had just graduated from high school. And so anyway, we're sitting there and these guys started talking about us. Well, I knew what they were saying. And I watched my dad and I'm thinking, oh no. And my dad just let him finish talking. And it was that, you know, look at these people. I can't believe that these Americans, you know, think they can just come to our country. You know, what the heck's that guy got on? Whatever. And so my father stood up and in perfect Italian told them, you know, because in Italy, the language, you don't have to say bad words. It's the way they phrase things. And it was it was like to the tune of, you know, you guys were wet behind your ears, you know, when I, you know, was in this country and fought for this country because my father was in the Italian Navy. And anyway,
oh, wow.
So by the time he got up and we left, the whole bus heard, you know, how disgraceful these young men were, not to understand that, you know, people could actually leave Italy, move to the United States and have a life there. But that was, I was
wow.
just like going home. I was cringing going, oh no. Cause my dad also was very loud, you know? So yeah. So people did that. They just didn't care. They looked right at you and would, you know, say things. And obviously those people were saying things in English so you could understand, hopefully not in Italian.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, yes, they can be very, very, what you see is what you get. One thing I wanted to jump in, cause we were talking about the language. There is a set of audios and I'm going to put the link in the show notes, but we use this. It's conversational. Now, you might not always want to use it with the kids because I found this out when my children were learning, because you can learn language and then you can learn conversational language. And they're a little
right.
bit different, as you know. And so it's called PIMSLEUR, and it's PIMSLEUR.com. And we don't make anything from this. I'm just letting you know it's out there. But it teaches, like, business people who are going to Europe, it's like a crash course. Well, I had my children doing the Spanish one, and I remember the kids coming downstairs when I was listening to them talking, you know, and I didn't understand what they were saying in Spanish. So, you know, they popped their heads off over the little railing and they go, "Hey, Mom, I don't think you want us to learn how to order beer at the bar, do you?" Of course, we kind of laughed at that. No, you can skip that lesson.
That's all so funny.
That's hysterical. Yeah, we can.
Oh
skip
my
that
goodness!
Lesson. And then my friends who are Lithuanian and their kids went to Lithuania, and they were very proud of the fact that their kids had Lithuanian names, like Victoria was spelled V-I-K-T-O-R-I-J-A. And, you know, Gintrist and Gilja, and, you know, that was their names. They didn't have an American equivalent, and they were born in here in the States. Well, when the two girls went to Lithuania, they were talking about how hysterical it was, because when they asked for the restrooms, apparently their mother taught them a slang, and people were looking at them and just walking away. They later found out they were asking for the outhouse.
Oh, no.
Hey, can you please tell me where the outhouse is? You know,
Oh my goodness.
You know, even when you're learning a language, like my parents spoke Italian, but my mother was from Palermo, my father Messina. So obviously slang is going to creep into your language. And so it may not be, you know, just think of how many different words we have for restroom. You know, it can be restroom, it can be bathroom, it can be ladies' room. So, you know, who knows what the official, you know, word is for the bathroom. And so you never know, you know, what people are saying. So I always think all of that stuff is so humorous.
That is so funny. Oh my goodness. So one thing about, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You had your tour guide, so that did help, but you did.
So that helped a lot. Mm-hmm. And I did want to just talk about, there's so much to see in Europe, and there's so much money you can spend on seeing different things, but many things can be seen for free. And, all the churches are free, and the churches are, they're like museums. They're amazing. We went to St.
Yeah, aren't they?
They're
magnificent.
Amazing. The ceilings are, you know, the ceilings are beautiful. Everything is gilded and with, you know, gold edges, and it's real gold. I mean, it is just awe-inspiring. And St. Peter's Cathedral, the biggest church in the entire world, and just St. Peter's Church, I mean, the biggest church in the entire world, and it is just amazing. You could spend days in there just going from artwork to artwork to artwork. And so, so many beautiful churches in Europe, and every single city has several. And they're all just worth taking your time. We saw in one church in Florence, there were the tombs of all these different people. Amerigo Macaroni, who invented the radio, was buried there. The now my mind is going blank. The ruler, different Medici was buried there. I can't believe I can't remember all these people, but so many. There were about 10 graves I took pictures of, because they were history making people, and they're just buried in that church. So very, very same thing, Westminster Chapel, like anyone in who's English, who's in who's who, they're buried in that church. So very, very exciting to see the churches. And many of the museums are free or very small amount of money to get into. So the real history is there. And one of the things that we saw when we went to the Doge, which is the palace in Venice of the leaders and the seat of government, they had this beautiful picture, and it was all the leaders of Venice. And behind them, Jesus was above them with his arms around them. And they were in essence saying that, you know, the Lord was protecting the leaders. The Lord was, you know, speaking to the leaders, helping them. And when you go to these churches and you see the artwork, and you go to these museums and you see the artwork, you realize how much history has been rewritten. So just going to Europe opens your eyes to the truth of what really happened. Not necessarily what the tour guide is saying, but just looking at these pictures that were painted, these sculptures that were made, you realize, wow, Jesus was such a central part of life in very different from today. And that is one of the most exciting things to me about going to Europe, is just seeing all the beautiful treasures, but also to get a glimpse of history by seeing the actual things that were there. So
that's amazing. So we are almost out of time, and we still need to talk about travel, packing, and souvenirs. So the packing, I think I'm going to probably have you leave out, only because although I do love your one thing where it says bring toiletry items that you can throw away or leave and leave room for souvenirs.
Yeah.
But I do want you, because I'm going to do a podcast on, you know, packing and so forth. And I also like that you said don't take valuables. That is really true. It's not a good time to bring, you know, expensive stuff. It just leave that home or in a safe somewhere rather than where you could lose it. But, you know, you did talk about traveling on the plane and, you know, being sure, like, that's one of the things, because I've had to travel a lot lately. And I always grab water, and my frugal daughter will bring an empty water bottle, like one of those, you know, empty ones that you carry around. And mm-hmm. and she just packs it or just puts it in her backpack, and then we'll fill it up, because I'm just like so anti water fountain. But they have now, they've gotten better with the ones that are yes. made to fill water bottles, so those I'm fine with. But that's my frugal daughter. I buy water, you know, as soon as I get through the gate. That's something I
right.
always keep with me, even though you can, you know, typically get water for free on the plane. But tell
that
us, you know, some travel tips.
Well, with the first time you fly overseas, it's overwhelming how long the plane trip is.
Now it is.
And the seats
seven
are a little
hours.
More comfortable. Our
how
flight
long?
To Italy was 9 hours there, 10 hours
oh
back.
Oh, my gosh.
So yeah. it was very, very long. And one of the things that for me, because I'm 5'9", but I have long legs, is just my, you know, somehow stretching out my legs so they don't cramp up or hurt, you know. And so I think wearing comfortable clothes is really essential. I usually wear my sneakers so I don't have to pack them. But then as soon as I get on the plane, I take them off, and mm-hmm. I'm either barefoot or with my socks on. And that way my feet can kind of move a lot, and I can, you know, I try to move my legs up and down, point my toes, flex them, you know, move my knees up and down as often as I can just to keep the circulation, because there is a danger. I know this from being a nurse of an embolism when you travel, because you're just still and you're not moving. Also, the servings that they serve you as far as drinks go are so small compared to what we usually drink. So, you know, I'll go make myself a glass of water in the kitchen or a glass of iced tea, and it's probably, you know, 16 ounces, but I'm getting a little 4 ounce drink mm-hmm. on the plane when they serve drinks. So always, you know, I always ask for seconds, for more, you know, can I have another drink? Can, you know, I have a whole bottle of water or whatever, but I feel free to do that. Like you said, bringing a water bottle and drinking water, lots of water, and just staying hydrated, because a lot of times in the plane, I don't feel thirsty at all, but I know I need to drink, and that can help you to feel better. And it can also help you to handle, the time change better. So try to sleep when you're on the plane, no matter what time you're traveling, because whether it's nighttime or daytime, when you get there, you're going to feel that tiredness that comes from changing. So that's one thing that's always really helped me, is I'll read, then I'll sleep, then I'll read, then I'll sleep. I'll just try to stay rested. One of the things that I did notice is they always have movies, you know, you can watch movies on the seat in front of you and TV shows and stuff like that. But we flew on a German airline, Lufthansa, and I noticed they have very different standards. And so, like, I happened to look forward, not meaning to, and there was, like, pornography on the movie screen in the seat in front of me. So if you're traveling with your children, especially, but also just with yourself. Like, I just learned now when I travel, I don't look at any TV screen except the one right in front of me, because I just, you know, anything goes anymore. And it's just right. stuff I don't want to see and I don't want my kids to see. So that would be a really big thing. And then finally, the last thing I just wanted to share is souvenirs. It's when you go to Europe, you kind of feel obligated to bring souvenirs back, and people want different things. But, you know, if you have a big family like mine and then you're close to people, getting everyone a t-shirt can run into hundreds and hundreds of dollars. So one of the things that I did when I went to Italy is I got magnets and I got keychains, and those are what I gave out. And that seemed to be a lot better decision than in the past, where I had just spent tons and tons of money. I found I could pick up a magnet for 1 or 2 or 3 euros, and it was a lot cheaper. And the same with key rings. And then I could still give people something, but mm-hmm. it wasn't so something yeah. really, really expensive. So.
Great. A couple of things I wanted to add for the airplane. One was, after my husband had some surgery, they asked him to wear compression socks. And then he also had this device that it's a medical device, but it's a compression type of thing that is battery powered, and it works on your calves. So if you do have problems with clotting, you know, check with your doctor. The other is, and I found this out the hard way, I was traveling once when I had a head cold, and apparently my ears were congested and I didn't realize, and I had a lot of pressure in my ears. So when we stopped for the connecting, I ended up getting earplugs, which really helped with the ear pressure. You can find those online and buy like a big box of them for what I paid for one in the airport. You know, I think I paid $10 or $15, but I was desperate. And I, you know, found them online for my next trip. And I found that, you know, they're disposable and you can just stick them in your ears. These worked really, really well. And if you have little kids, you know, one of the things, if you're a nursing mom, make sure you're nursing when you're taking off and when you're landing, because again, ear pressure, little kids like to chew gum. I'm an anti-gum person only because I've had to take chewing gum off of more things. You know, nobody really chews gum anymore. In my family, we used to all chew gum. But it is also another thing that you can give your kids to help them with the air pressure, you know. And I always brought like little activities for them. I remember one time I brought the kids these different rocks wrapped in tissues in a little baggie with the book that they had identified. And there was an older gentleman at the end of my seat, and he was looking over, you know, to my kids who were with my husband, the older ones. And he said, "What are they doing? You know, I want to do it too." So he actually traded seats with my husband, and so that he could identify the rocks with my kids. And it was really funny. You know,
that's awesome.
So he asked me if I was a teacher, and I said I was a homeschooler. So then he had to tell me all about that, and then tell me he was visiting his granddaughter and was going to talk to her about homeschooling. So it was quite fun. But and the other thing, my kids have earphones. You know, like the big earphones that you put over your ears that are noise canceling, and they always bring those whenever we travel. And, you know, they'll download, if you have Netflix, you can download that to a cell phone or an iPad and then watch that on the plane instead of what's offered. Cause I agree with you, Meredith. They have sometimes planes have fun games, and my son and I were a very competitive family, and so we were playing different like mind games and things like that were fun. The only thing I want to add to the gifts is that there are so many great photo places now where you can order things, and I remember taking like some of these amazing scenes and then having a picture made that was really inexpensive. You know, I want to say it was even a couple of dollars with a, you know, really cheapy frame. So we ended up giving some of those as gifts, you know, not necessarily with us standing in it, but just scenery kinds of things that you thought people
might enjoy.
Oh, that's
a great idea.
So, Meredith, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your vacation and some great links that we'll have on the website. And that was really fun. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. God bless you.
Thanks, you too. And guys, and visit Meredith at Powerline Prod. That's Powerline, PROD.com. Also, my membership site at MediaAngelsMembership.com. You can find the show notes at DIY European Travel on the Cheap, VintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Look for that topic. Thanks again, and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.